Hi, Bo. This is Dhanadhar Swami. I'm going to just... Hear me now?
I can hear you, Maharaj.
Okay. Well, let me know again. Either you can send me by Skype. I'll try again. If anybody's still there, I really thank them. I'm excited to explain this. Anyway, I'm sorry that you couldn't hear it. I'll explain it again. See what you can, but maybe even more brief, that in our story of the journey of Rajanath and his uncle Vijay becoming Krishna conscious, and they're being instructed by their guru now systematically, and he's been instructing them on the Dashamula, and the Dashamula has, I think the first verse is Pramana. What is our means of knowing? And then the next nine verses are, or ten verses, are Prameya, or eight verses are Prameya. What is to be known? And we're on the ninth verse, and one of the things of what is to be known is what is the means of realizing the absolute truth? And it's describing bhakti, and bhakti has two divisions, Vaidhi Bhakti and Aganuga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti is when your focus on Krishna is guided by your faith in Shastra. You do things because you know it is right. And or out of love, you follow the Shastra to guide your activities, your practices in relationship to God, and it has a focus on the majestic aspect of God. So you're very concerned because you're dealing with a superior that you do things right. So even in that loving relationship, you're focused on the Shastra and the rules. And then in Raghunuga Bhakti, the impetus for your devotion is simply your natural attraction to it. It's not that one does not study Shastra and understand what to do, but the impetus is your natural attraction, your lobha, mayi, your faith, your greed to please God. And it's very rare. It's an advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. And it's generally only awakened in one whose heart has become relatively pure. Especially the practice of it, which entails a smarnam or a remembrance of the residents of Vrindavan, an aspiration to follow one of them whose love you covet, and your own desire and beginning conception of what it is like for you to participate in those pastimes. It generally comes after chanting the holy name and becoming attached to the holy name. And there's a sadhana kram, there's a step-by-step process. You're getting taste for the name and you're chanting the holy name of Krishna. And then when you get a taste and you become, because taste focuses the mind, you naturally gravitate to what you're attracted to, what you like. And we have that type of absorption where you're hearing the name, you're hearing each syllable of the name, and you're hearing it with relish. Then naturally the mind begins to think of the form of Krishna, and that becomes revealed in your chanting. And when that absorption becomes even deeper, There's so much taste. It's not an intellectual process where the mind is straining. So the energy of the mind doesn't have to go into that type of concentration. You're naturally concentrated and you're naturally enlivened because, as you're saying, the name, the form of Krishna manifests. And then you start to become overwhelmed with the qualities of Krishna, and you start to meditate on Krishna's heart. And then, as that absorption becomes deeper, then the lila or the pastimes manifest. And including in the pastimes are the parikars or the associates. And meditation on that, the associates and the associate of Krishna that you aspire to follow, meditation on that brings you really to the real practice of Raganuga Bhakti. Before that, Ajata Ruchi Raganuga Bhakti, before you really have that taste, being in Gaudiya Vaishnavism and hearing the Shastra and getting some proclivity and attraction to these things, you may want to meditate. You may naturally gravitate towards meditating on Krishna, but you're very, very cautious not to let up the rule of law in your life, because if you loosen the rule of law or rules, then because you're still not purified in heart, then your mind will gravitate towards material things. But you still have some affinity, some attraction, some desire, and you may incorporate that into what you're thinking about in relationship to Krishna. Now, as I mentioned before this went off, that Raganuga Bhakti means that you're following those who have rag. Ragatmaka, the perfect souls. Rag means your consciousness is colored. Rag means color. Your consciousness is colored like a crystal ball in relationship to, roses, and the crystal ball becomes colored by the object that it's in proximity. So in the same way where the mind becomes colored, the object of Krishna and love of Krishna, and the people who have that they're so absorbed. Rag means like if someone is fearful, he sees the world through the lens of fear. Someone has lust, he sees the world through the lens of lust. Someone has greed, they see the world through the lens of greed. So someone who has real bhakti, rag, he sees the world ragatmaka. Within his soul practically is this vision, this absorption, this complete absorption in Krishna. And that absorption in God takes place in Vrindavan to the level of rag, because there's no obligation or duty, because God doesn't appear as your superior. So there's a force to that love. And people who have that forceful love, they're called ragatmika bhaktis, the residents of Vrindavan, ragatmika bhaktis. And it's a forceful love. And when you somehow have the greed to follow that, by the association of a Vaishnava who has that, and you become inspired to follow that, then you begin the process of Raganuga Bhakti. You're following their rag. And how do you follow their rag? Well, you meditate on a particular devotee of Krishna whom you feel inspires you naturally, and you meditate on them serving Krishna. and you gear your practices to the things that nourish that. And your deity worship becomes colored with the worship of a form of God whom you aspire to serve. You begin to read the things that are inspiring to that particular relationship with God, or you see everything that you read in terms of your that relationship to God. So that's called Raganuga Bhakti. And it's not a cheap thing, especially when it comes to the platform of smarana. Raganuga Bhakti does mean smarana. It means a deep remembrance. But the basis of it is that greed. And although it's not automatic in the sense that someone could have a different type of greed as he advances, he may become attracted to Narayan, and he may advance even to Ruchi and Ashakti, etc. So it's not just your practice, but it's a proclivity in your heart that's awakened in association with an advanced Vaishnava, where your Shraddha or faith becomes Lobha Mayi, filled with this greed to serve Krishna as one of the residents of Vrindavan does. Now, Vrajanath says, there are two kinds of, how many kinds of Raganuga Bhakti are there? And Babaji says, there's two. There's Kamarup and Sambandharup. They're all Sambandha, they're all relationship, but Kamarup means the relationship of conjugal love. And again, it's not mundane love, because it has nothing to do with lust, which is the intense desire to satisfy one's senses. Rather, it's the intense desire to satisfy Krishna's senses and a particular relationship of forceful love which Krishna enjoys, which you are inclined to participate in. And Sambandha indicates relationship, leading with the parents who have the relationship of parent to Krishna. And the friends who have the relationship, I'm the friend of Krishna. And intimate servants of Krishna in Braja, Vrindavan. Then Vrajanath says, please explain the difference between Kamarup and Sambandharup. And Babaji explains a verse from the Bhagavatam in the first chapter of the seventh canto from the Rajasuya sacrifice, where Yudhisthira sees the Shishupal, who has envy from Krishna, sees his soul merge. And he inquires, I think from Narada Muni, what happens. And he explains that when you have an emotional connection towards Krishna, whether it's fear like Kamsa, or even hate like Shishupal, or lust like the gopis, not mundane lust, he gives a verse, then you attain the supreme by that absorption. Emotion is the most powerful absorption in an object, not attention based on understanding. So he explains this particular verse. We did that last time. And the verse will indicate that really only Kama and Sambandha are the bhavas applicable to Ragmarg. And there are two types, Kama Rupa and Sambandha Rupa. And now Vrajanath asks, what is the Sarup intrinsic characteristic of Kama Rupa Bhakti? The word Kama signifies Sambhog Krishna, the desire for Sambhog with Krishna. Sambhog means union with Krishna. This Sambhog Krishna, this desire to have this conjugal relationship with Krishna, changes into Ragatmaka Bhakti, and from this causes loving behavior to arise. In other words, Priti Sambhog is to satisfy Krishna's desires. So you desire a union with Krishna, but only to satisfy Krishna's desires. All one's endeavors are made solely for Krishna's happiness and prosperity, without any desire for one's own happiness. Even if there's an effort for one's own pleasure, it is in accordance with Krishna's happiness. So this so easily can be confused by our spiritual prejudice. It can so easily be confused by our spiritual prejudice. Prejudice means to prejudge something based on a similar experience, which is not an exact experience, or a similar example, not based on an exact understanding. So similar is, yes, boy, girl, you know, I had experience of sex life, or I know what sex life is, and then you prejudge that this boy, girl is like the boy-girl experience that you had or saw, where it's just the form of it, but the consciousness is completely different. It's just a form of intense love to please Krishna, not a form of intense love to please my senses. And the relationships in the world are perverted reflections of that. But being only our only experiences of this world and not transcendence, we think that the spiritual world is a reflection of our experience. It's not. The other way around, the material world is a perverted reflection of that experience. And that experience has not a tinge of mundane lust. That even the greatest sannyasis in India who wouldn't even hear the voice of a woman, monks, renunciate, wouldn't even hear the voice of a woman singing, wouldn't even hear the voice of a woman singing, would meditate on these pastimes. This unprecedented love is only found in the female residents of Vraja. The gopi's prema is endowed with a particular wonderful sweetness, madhurya, and gives rise to many playful sports and pastimes. That is why learned scholars refer to this unique condition of love as kama lust, although in reality the gopi's kama is aprakrita, transcendental, and completely bereft of even the slightest trace of fault. The kama of the conditioned soul is full of fault and contemptible. Because why? It's based on ego, the desire to control and enjoy, not the desire to serve. And that's material consciousness. And it's intense material consciousness. And has nothing to do, and one is completely free from ego. That means love. You just want to serve. And this is the Adi Ras. This is the original thing. The kama of the, whereas the love of the gopis is so transcendently pure and attractive that even such dear bhaktis as Uddhava also desire to attain it. Nothing can compare with the gopis' kama. It can only be compared with itself. Kama Rupa Ragatmaka Bhakti is found only in Vraj and nowhere else. Kubja's Kam in Mathura is not really Kam, but merely Rati. The Kam that I am describing has no relationship with that of Kubja. that somehow Kubja had some desire for herself, which Krishna satisfied. But it can't be compared to the gopi's love. What is Sambandha Rupa Bhakti? Babaji, Sambandha Rupa Bhakti is devotion to Krishna in which one assumes an abhiman, conception of an identity, such as I am Krishna's father or I am Krishna's mother. In Vraja, the devotion of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda are examples of Sambandha Rupa Bhakti. Okay, we're back. One can attain one's inherent sarup, an unalloyed prem, by developing the bhava of either Kama Rupa or Sambandha Rupa. Therefore, both these bhavas are the shelter of Nitya Siddha Bhaktis. These have only been mentioned in the analysis of Raganuga Bhakti. Now you can see that there are two types of Raganuga Sadhana, Kamanuga and Sambandhanuga. So he described there's two types of Ragatmaka Bhakti. There's Kama Rupa of the gopis and Sambandha Rupa of the Krishna's parents, for example, or the cowherd boys. And therefore, because Raganuga Bhakti is to aspire for that and meditate on that, therefore there are two types of Raganuga Bhakti. One is Kamanuga Bhakti and Sambandhanuga Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti. You can either aspire for conjugal relationship or these other relationships. Now, Vrajanad says, please explain the nature of Kamanuga and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Now, what he's going to explain is that there are two types of Kama Rupa Bhakti. And he says it, Babaji, Kamanuga is desire to follow Kama Rupa, of which there are two types, Sambhog Ichamayi and Tatad Bhava Ichamayi. So these are two. One is you desire to have direct union with Krishna. That's called Sambhog Ichamayi. And the other is Tatad Bhava Ichamayi, which means that you just relish and enjoy Krishna's union with the gopis. And you don't have that personal desire to have direct union with Krishna, but your appreciation is of that and to serve that. And as far as I understood, there's really no examples that we see in our line of Sambhog Ichamayi, that direct connection. Mostly it's Tad Tad Bhava Ichamayi, and that's the Manjari, the young girls who just desire to serve Radha in that relationship, and they have so much love, even more love for Radha, that their pleasure is to just serve her. And their enjoyment is Krishna being pleased in that relationship. But not to engage in it directly themselves. So he says, what is this Sambhog? Sambhog means union, Ichamayi. Babaji, Sambhog Ichamayi means the desire to engage in playful sporting pastimes, Kali, with Krishna. Krishna's transcendental sportive pastimes with the gopis are called Sambhog. So you desire to embrace Krishna and exchange with Krishna in that way, and that's your desire. And what is Tad Tad bhava ichamayi. Babaji, tat tat bhava ichamayi is desire to experience the sweet bhavas or moods that the gopis of Vraj have towards Krishna. So you don't desire to have the direct connection with Krishna, but you only desire to have experience the feelings that those people, those gopis that have direct relationship with Krishna have. And how do you experience those feelings? By love for those people, for love for Radha and love for Lalita. And by your love for them, then you experience the same thing, but through your love for them, not through your direct connection with Krishna. It is so much love that your pleasure becomes the pleasure that those who are directly engaged in union with Krishna. To the extent that all the feelings, even the physical reactions, appear in that person's body, even though they don't have that direct connection. And it appears in their body. And it's very, very selfless and pure, because obviously there's no desire for their own connection. And that love itself is pure. How did these two kinds of Raghunuga Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, arise? When a Bhakti sees Sri Krishna's beautiful deity form and hears Sri Krishna Madhurya Lila Katha, an intense hankering arises in his heart to experience those bhavas, and he then engages himself in the sadhana of Kamanuga and Sambandhanuga. So how does it rise? This is very, very practical how it arises. When you see the deity form of Krishna, of Radha and Krishna, then you feel, I would like to serve that relationship. Or when you hear the pastimes, then this intense hankering arrives in the heart to experience those bhavas or moods, to experience that type of love that comes only from the pleasure of Krishna and the happiness of Krishna. I want to have that experience of the happiness of Krishna being pleased. I want that pure love in my heart, as exemplified in this form of Radha and Krishna, and manifest in the deity forms, so as I hear about in the Leela or pastimes of Krishna. Okay, this is going to be really interesting. If we get a good reception next time, we can do more. But I think I gave enough to adjust, to digest for today. I have another really, really busy day. I'm here in Vrindavan, and yesterday I went at 6 o'clock in the morning with the Chinese, these Chinese yogis, and wow, were they chanting. We went to Govardhan, Kusum Sarovara. And then I got back and I had my first class in my own room, and some of my favorite devotees came. Sohei from Iran, and Vrindavan Bihari and Subhadra from Croatia. They brought me their famous Croatian olive oil. I remember told you this girl, she's blind, and her nice husband. I met them. They came, and Krunika from New Zealand, and Jai Jagannath and some of his men were here. Just everybody that I really have. Trip Levine and his fiance, if you know him, from New Jersey. And just a whole bunch of nice people came, and very intimate, and was speaking on Wives of the Brahmins Delivered. Anybody else would like to say hello now and even give me an indication that something I said was even heard?
Jai Maharaj, Rati Krishna.
How'd we do, Rati?
Sounded great. It was a good class.
Okay. Not a class, but the reception got better, right?
Yes, it did.
Okay, that's a relief, because I hope, you know, it wasn't just the spot. But, I mean, the view outside of my room when I'm giving this class, to me, it's just, like, spectacular.
Mm.
It's just so unique. If I have no...
Yeah.
I have no buildings, no real... you know, there's an old ashram, and there's, like, a temple, and there's this rotted... With hundreds of yards of my room, even though it's really near the Krishna Balaram Mandir. It's just a unique place. And... I feel good about it because it's after 41 years of service in Vrindavan, so it's not like I tried to get a room. So, okay. Anybody else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Dadan.
Rajarathe, thank you so much for listening. It's only people like you that I'm keeping up these classes. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
And how is the worship of the Radha Shyam Sundar doing?
Yeah, it's going good, Maharaj.
Is that the deity there? You're still dressing the deity?
Yes, Maharaj. I'll send you some pictures.
Yeah, please send me some pictures. You do it once a week?
Yeah, twice a week.
Wonderful, wonderful. How fortunate. Like it says here, this is the way we enter into, the real way to enter into, you know, the mood of Vrindavan, is by worshiping those forms and becoming attracted to those forms. And, you know, and doing it with love and devotion and very, very dedicated way. So you're very, very fortunate to just have that service and opportunity. Wonderful. Good. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, well, maybe we lost people because it took a half hour to get on. Okay, Hare Krishna. Lunch, please.